It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 96% always is my co-host.
Yes, Steven Brown.
And happy Batman Day to you.
Yeah, it's not Batman Day today. But
no, it's a couple of days after when we're recording this.
Yeah.
In fact, we didn't record on the Saturday because of Batman Day.
Yeah.
Because you were at the shop.
Was I?
I don't know. You didn't show up.
You're right. I was at the store all day. I don't know why we didn't do it like later after that. These last couple weeks have been
a blur for me,
I know,
too. Yeah.
It's been.
We're squeezing these in anytime we can. Right now it's like Thursday night. Oh,
yeah.
In fact, yeah, last week we didn't do one at all because last week was Harry Potter.
That's right.
And we had recorded that a week or two earlier. Yeah.
While David was in town.
Right. So we didn't do anything last week. But that was a great conversation.
Yeah.
Batman Day has come and gone. I completely missed Batman Day, too, because I was running around.
Yeah. All right. So Batman Day is a bullshit holiday that Diamond makes.
Well, is it Diamond or is it DC?
Maybe both. I'm sure DC had the idea, and then Diamond's like, "We'll do a thing," and it's great. It really is.
Well, wasn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they do it for the first time for in 2013 for Batman's 75th anniversary?
Yes,
and then I guess it was successful enough that they've been doing it every year since.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bullshit holiday sense where it's like they did it for the 75th anniversary, but they didn't do a Superman Day, which is kind of goofy.
Well, Superman doesn't sell as well.
That is true.
And, do they do it in September because that's when Detective Comics 27 came out?
I think so. The first one was supposed to be the 75th anniversary of the release of Detective 27.
Okay.
So every year now it's going to be like an annual event, which is the awesome part because as a retailer, September's a notoriously horrific month for us because everyone's going back to school.
But then DC always does these big things in
September. Right. So that's, they usually launch like the new 52 launch then, the villain month, the lenticular cover months is all that stuff. Rebirth, we're kind of in the midst of right now. But yeah, Batman Day's cool. It's anytime the industry wants to come up with like an extra holiday to do, it's up to like the retailers to kind of get behind it to just then make it an event.
Mm-hmm. And you guys did.
Yeah. The first year we probably dropped the ball on it. The second year we tried to do it, it worked out a little bit better. And the third year, this year was probably our most successful because we found a guy in Oaklawn who has the Michael Keaton Batmobile.
Oh, is that Batmobile?
Yeah, so it's not the exact car, right? It's like
a custom car that
like
made.
A kit car, yeah. It's like where my dad's into this kind of stuff is you can buy like basically a, like they'll the kit will come and it'll say buy this car and it'll be like a 82 Buick or something. And then the kit comes with the instructions to put the stuff onto the car. And then you can make it look like the Batmobile. So I don't know what the car is underneath it, but it has all this extra shit you put on top of it that's like legit. It's like metal and
it's got to be a car that's the right dimensions.
Right. So it's unmistakably the 1989 Batmobile, yeah, for sure. But it's a little different.
I would want a custom car that like turns like the old classic in Evil Dead into like the big zombie chopping machine in Army of Darkness.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they need.
That's what everybody needs.
Right? So it's cool. So the Batmobile guy, I wish I read the details. I read them briefly like 2 weeks ago or something before we did this. The guy bought the car and ended up selling it to like a millionaire out like west somewhere who has like seven Batmobiles. And I guess that
like
guy,
every kind of Batmobile you
yeah,
figure?
Like, yeah, he has like one
a
of
a Tumbler
every,
and Adam and a Futura.
Right.
And
then like the Adam West Batmobile, right, and all this kind of stuff. So this guy bought it, and this was like his Tim Burton Batmobile in his collection of Batmobiles. And I guess the guy like is a millionaire or whatever, so he wasn't like driving it or wasn't using it, and it was like really dirty and it was kind of falling apart. So the guy who originally owned it,
that's like my Kirk chair.
Yeah,
the Kirk chair is like, kind of dirty and falling apart.
It's like, and the guy who really loves it comes over and takes a picture every time he's in it. Yeah. Elliot.
Elliot has posted many pictures on our Facebook page of him sitting in that chair.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that. So this guy went to go like visit the car or something and saw it was kind of in disrepair and it was kind of filthy. So he asked the guy, the millionaire person, if he could clean it. And the guy's like, yeah, sure, go ahead and clean it. So he's like cleaning the car and the guy was getting like emotional about it, I guess. And the millionaire, I don't know if this is true, right? This is just like a thing I read. The millionaire saw that he was like getting like choked up and like really sweet on this car, and he just like threw him the keys and like gave him the car back. And like just gave it to him. So he's got the car back. So now this guy's back in Oakland and he's got this like Batmobile back. And the thing is, it's awesome. It's super, super, super cool car. So yeah, Batmobile, it was like our second best day in Oakland, other than Free Comic Book Day this year. So it's one of those things where it's kind of up to the retailer to make that as good an event as you can make it. Now, we hedged our bets and obviously had the Batmobile there, which really helped out. But it was awesome.
What were the freebies they gave away?
They reprinted Batman Rebirth number one. So it was like the number one of the Rebirth 3 months one ago. Shot. Yeah. From like, yeah, 3 months ago. And, you know, like the year before that, they did the New 52 Batman number one they reprinted. Mm-hmm. Maybe they did that the year before. I can't remember exactly. But it's like they usually do whatever the big Batman book that year is the reprint book.
Okay.
So, you know, we order them, we give them out, you know, they gave out Batman masks 1 year. It was like,
yeah, I remember that. Batman, they were Capullo Batman masks. Yeah.
And it's like stuff like that's cool. But it's you know, like I said, it's kind of up to the retailer to take it that step further and kind of make it things. We did a sale and all this stuff. But yeah, it was cool. It snuck up on us, and we've got that is only overshadowed for me personally because 24-hour comic book day is not this weekend but next weekend,
right?
And that is like my least favorite day of the year.
In fact we have a conflict on that. We're still trying to figure out the details of that, so we'll talk about that when we get to, but there was something cool we're supposed to do during 24-hour comic book day.
Ruining my life.
We both have to figure out our schedules and see what's going to happen with that. If it happens, it'll be cool for everybody. I do want to get to the point with Batman Day where, like, people walk down the street and go, Happy Batman Day! Happy Batman Day to you!
Yeah, it's...
You know, Valentine's Day is a bullshit made-up holiday. Why can't Batman be a bullshit made-up holiday?
Yeah, and, you know, Valentine's Day is some shit we begrudgingly celebrate once a year.
We do it once a year to sell chocolate and flowers and greeting cards. Why can't we have one day a year to... Bullshit to sell Batman, which is the best thing you can sell to another human being.
Right. It's like there's...
That and prostitution. You could sell those are two things you can sell to people that make them really happy.
And they typically have nothing to do with each other, although they don't have to
be. A lot of prostitutes in Gotham City.
Yeah.
He usually questions them.
But Batman's not a fan of the prostitutes.
At one point, Catwoman was one.
Yeah, depending on who's writing her. Frank Miller. Yeah, he's a lunatic.
Yeah.
So yeah, Batman Day's cool. And it's... So it's going to be every year now. In September, which is cool. It's like 24-hour comic book day in October, which is the first Saturday in May. The first Saturday in May is free comic book day. So, you know, it's just like another cool event we can do.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel bad because I was busy that whole weekend, and I feel like I should have done something to celebrate Batman Day. I actually been watching a lot of Star Trek.
Yeah.
I probably watched Star Trek on Batman Day.
You haven't been
watching Batman. No, I tried to watch All-Star Superman this past weekend. So I tried to watch Superman on Batman Day weekend.
And Batman's not even in that Superman movie.
Not for a minute, but Grant Morrison wrote it, and he's also written Batman.
He's written Batman.
I've been reading a lot of X-Men, too. Like the last, I think because that last Marvel Legends set came out.
Which, if any of you haven't seen that at Marvel Legends, we haven't received them yet in the store, but John bought them, and then
I found them at Toys R Us, and then...
10 to 6-year-olds.
I had jury duty, and they let me out at 2, and I went by Toys R Us immediately, And they had the whole set except for Deadpool. I'm still trying to find Deadpool like everyone else in this country.
Yeah.
But he did not come with a Build-A-Figure part, and the Build-A-Figure was Juggernaut.
Right.
But it was like, it had every, pretty much every major character but Cyclops in that set.
Yeah, it's a
but
great
they've done
set.
A lot, they've done a lot of Cyclops lately.
Yeah, but aren't they doing the 90s Cyclops with like the bandolier?
He'll be, yeah, he'll be next. But the last one they did was that horrible all-new X-Men one with the X on his face.
I kind of like that costume.
I don't know. I like Cyclops a lot, though. And so part of me is like looking on eBay going, maybe I should get that one, too.
Yeah, it's the only one you're missing, John.
Ah, that's tough. The last couple of X-Men sets have been really, really expensive to find because there was that Wolverine set where you built Puck.
Which is stupid that you're building
it was
like
very
the
cheap,
shortest
yes.
dude in the Mar. It's like, fuck off, Toy
yeah,
Blizzard,
I know. And there were only four figures in it. And but that you can't find anywhere. And then the Build-A-Jubilee set.
Because it was like Vampire Jubilee.
Yeah, but it also had like, but also like the Storm and the Magneto were impossible to find, so nobody could finish building Jubilee. The only one I got from that set was Strife.
Is Jubilee still a vampire? Do you know?
I don't know.
Do you remember she was a vampire?
Yeah,
for a few
I'm
years?
Very selective with my X-Men. It's since 2000 I read Grant Morrison's X-Men title and nothing else, and then I read Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men and then nothing else, and then nothing. And then I'm reading Bendis's all new X-Men and I don't like it.
I think Brubaker or Fraction or maybe both of them wrote an X-Men run.
Yeah, I
think
they sent him into space again. And
yeah,
I remember seeing the oversized hardcover at C2E2 and I was like, should I get that?
Yeah,
and then I spent my money on other things because that's what I do.
I think if they did an omnibus, I'd be a sucker and I'd get it because I'm an omnibus whore. But like, I can't. The last X-Men book I read monthly that I liked was Uncanny X-Force. And that was like...
That was the Remender?
That was Remender. That was like 4 or 5 years ago. Because yeah. Then it was... That ran into Uncanny Avengers, which was awesome. And then that ran into Axis, which was a bowl of shit. So, you know...
Yeah, I've been wanting to read... I've been wanting to read some modern X-Men, and I've been pulling the books off my shelf, and I realized... Oh, I realized the modern X-Men I'm reading is now 10 years old. Just the Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men. And
I still think of that as modern X-Men.
Yeah.
And it's... Beast it's prob- is totally
it's
different
the,
now.
It's the best thing... They did, and it was the sequel to Grant Morrison. I actually reread that last week, and I felt like
Wait,
I should have read
Astonishing, or you read
Astonishing,
Grant
and I felt like I should have read Grant Morrison again because so much of what Joss Whedon
it's
did
a direct sequel.
It was a direct sequel, and which is great because you have a great writer following a great writer.
Yeah,
but yeah, and then I read Mark Millar's Wolverine: Enemy of the State, which was really really fun,
and Romita art, man,
John Romita
like,
Jr.
Yeah.
artwork, man. That guy does no wrong in my eyes.
Yeah, it's like even when John Romita Jr. isn't great, like if he like his Superman, I didn't really like.
Yeah,
you know he's doing Superman because what's his name was inking him. I still like it.
Still
you know,
good.
it's still good.
He's somebody I've been wanting to ask on the show. I met him twice, and he was the sweetest guy both times. And I don't think if I asked him, he would remember who I was, but he was just such a nice guy.
I think these guys meet so many people, he probably wouldn't remember you, and he might do it. And I think if he said no, it'd be more out of, like, busy, you know?
Yeah, I've had some big artists say no, and they've always been really, really nice about it, actually.
Yeah, so. You know what, at the very least, no harm in asking.
That's true, except for the shame when they say no.
No, but they're nice about it, at least.
There's always shame around.
Yeah, it's a
just
cloud
waiting
of shame.
To descend. the only thing Batman I got was they came out with more Dark Knight Returns figures.
They're awesome.
And they have the Frank Miller versions of the Armored Batman and the Kerry Kelly Robin. And I ordered the Mutant Leader from Amazon last week, and I have 2-day shipping, and he's still not here.
Fuck off, Amazon.
I know. Amazon is, like, apologizing, and I'm like, well... I feel like
apology doesn't get you your figure any quicker.
I know, but I feel like I'm going to order another one. It's going to take him another week to show up, and then two will show up. Yeah, maybe I should order, and then two will show up.
Then what are you going to do with two of them?
I'm going to sell you one.
Oh, in the package? Yeah,
yeah.
Sure, I'll take
See?
It. Yeah. I mean, not me personally.
Ooh, yeah, but I could trade that for a Bruce Timm figure when the next set comes out.
That is true. And you know what? The next set, it'll be out sooner rather than later, because they're going to want to put the next set out, and that Bat Plane is supposed to come out by Christmas.
Ooh, yeah, those are great. I actually was talking to Mike Lawrence, who... Oh, by the way, I saw... When I was in San Francisco, they had a marathon of the roast battle, which Mike Lawrence won. And he totally deserved to win.
Who did they roast? Anyone in
particular? They would bring out two comics, and they would roast each other. So it was
Do they
like,
know
it
each
was,
other? It's like famous people? He's like, what do they make fun of Mike Lawrence for? Famous, being, like, but tall and having a big beard?
Big nerdy, and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some really mean ones, actually.
Wow.
But basically, I guess the rules were everybody knew the 10 people that were on the show. So they all just wrote jokes about all of those people.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the most part, they've run into each other at clubs, and they know each other's acts.
Sure, yeah. It's a smaller community than you assume.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a small community. Yeah. And then, I think on the show itself, they said who was facing off against
him. Okay. And Mike Lawrence
Mike's a great joke writer.
He's a great guy. He's really smart and great joke teller. And he hits like that nerve of like, he's older than me, but barely, you know.
He's around your age, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like,
he's been on the show like twice.
Right. But like, we grew up with like the same shit. Like, we were in like wrestling and all this stuff.
Yeah, he's a big wrestling guy. And I believe if you go back and you listen to, maybe it was 2 years ago.
We spent a long time talking about Hulk Hogan.
That's all we talked about.
Which is now super weird because he's like a huge racist, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got problems.
Maybe it was at the time.
We were at like the Comedy Condo by Zany's, and we did a podcast there, which you can listen to. And it's basically the two of you talking about
nerding
wrestling.
Nerding out about wrestling.
He was also nominated for 2 Emmys this year. Got to go to the Emmys.
He went to the Emmys?
He went to the Emmys.
That's awesome.
He didn't win, but he was very glad to be there.
Yeah, at least you get to go. That's cool.
But he won the roast battle, and I listened to the jokes he wrote, and they were all amazing. And congratulations again, Mike, and you deserve all of it. And
he's one of those guys I never want to have him make fun of me because he'll cut
it'll
so
be
deep.
So true.
It'll be so deep. Because you hear about the shit he says about himself, and you're just like, holy shit.
No, he's much worse than other people.
Yeah.
He was gentle with me, but he said some things that I remember that I will take to my grave.
Yeah.
Because they're right.
Mike can cut deep if he wants.
That's the problem with him. It's not that they're mean, it's that they're true.
Yeah. And that's the worst. Well, good on him. That's awesome. He's a good dude. He deserves it.
Yeah, but the other thing, now that we've talked about Batman Day, the other thing that happened this week, I realized is a character we've never really discussed.
Because he sucks.
Well, that's how we can get into this. This week was the premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was also the premiere of Gotham, but I haven't watched it yet.
I heard it was awful.
It's always awful.
Yeah.
No, I take it back. 5 out of 6 episodes are always awful, and then one's really good. I'm like,
I could keep watching it and not feel so bad.
It's so bad. But all right, I haven't watched Gotham yet. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on this week.
Ghost Rider on because
they're not doing very well.
Yeah.
I think also because Marvel just basically said, we're not making any more Ghost Rider movies.
Yeah. And
we gave Nicolas Cage 2 of them.
Yeah, which is incredible that they gave him 1, let alone 2. All right.
Well, the
questions.
First one, he wasn't that crazy yet. Like, he was still kind of a box office draw. That's like 2007. It's like pre-Iron Man, that first Ghost Rider.
That first Ghost Rider came out before Iron Man?
I'm pretty sure. I will look it up. But it was like before Marvel Studios was really a thing.
Yeah.
It was like, because that first Ghost Rider was,
sure.
It was kind of like Blade.
Yeah.
It was like. It was just,
but still, fuck Ghost Rider. all right. So Ghost Rider is a terrible character born of the 80s. And
one of the late 70s, actually.
Oh, yeah,
there's
a
lot
right.
of disco rollerball.
I have him in
Evel Knievel. There, you know what?
Yeah, it's Evel Knievel.
Well, that's what we were talking about. Well, Ghost Rider was originally a cowboy character in the 50s, like pre-Marvel. He's one of those like post-Captain America Namor, but pre-Marvel characters.
Yeah. And he was like a white dude with a hat. And a cape on
and
a
he
horse.
Had a skull mask, and he rode a white horse, and
yeah.
he was
a Western character, like Two Gun Kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Batlash, those guys.
Yeah, the Rawhide Kid.
Yeah, the Rawhide Kid. So they decided to bring him back. Eric Friedrich brought him back in the 70s because Evel Knievel was the biggest rage. And we were talking about this a couple of shows ago, how in the 70s, there's all these ripoff characters that people still love.
Yeah.
There's like...
Luke Cage is as close to being like Shaft as they could get away
right.
with.
Iron Fist is
a ripoff of whatever.
Bruce Lee.
Well, Shang-Chi is literally Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they brought all the horror comics back.
Right.
So like all the Hammer, like Dracula is basically Christopher Lee at that point. And then Blade is like a mix of blaxploitation movies and vampire movies.
Yeah.
So they were throwing a lot of shit against the wall in the 70s. And Ghost Rider was part of that. Like, Evel Knievel was big, and people were into motorcycles again. So let's reboot Ghost Rider,
but make him like
as a motorcycle guy, and yeah. that and
which isn't like a terrible concept.
And it wasn't that bad a book. James DeMatteis, who's another guy who's been on the show. This show has gone on so long, I can name a lot of guys that have been on the show.
Yeah, that's why we're going to keep doing it.
He wrote a really great run at the very end. And when I first got into Marvel Comics, he was writing it. And I read, like, the final two issues of Ghost Rider. I was like, this is great. And then it was like, final issue.
He shows up in, like, some of the Avengers omnibuses I have. Mm-hmm. Or the John Byrne one he's in for, like, when John Byrne did a couple issues in the Champions or whatever. He's not a terrible character.
He's one of the champions.
But it's like...
There's not much going on there.
There's not much going on, and it's just really, I think, hard to take that character and make it work monthly. It's like he's a miniseries character. You know what I mean? It's like there's never going to be a Ghost Rider monthly that's going to last, you know?
Yeah, although they brought him back in the 90s, and I guess it was part of the boom, so kind of everything flipped.
I mean, fucking Darkhawk made it to like 30 issues in the 90s.
And the next time Stu comes on this show, he will yell at you again.
Yeah,
for
he won't. Stu doesn't know how to listen to the podcast, to be honest, technological capabilities.
Sometimes he doesn't know how to be on the podcast.
That is also true.
There were several where he just didn't make it.
Right.
But when they brought Ghost Rider back, he was like more popular. He was popular enough to... Number one, he was in that Fantastic Four reboot that Art Adams did, which was like a shameless plug to raise awareness of Fantastic Four. So he's one of the popular characters. And he was big enough where they did a bunch of spinoffs. They had like that whole Midnight Suns imprint.
Yeah.
Johnny Blaze was his own character at that point because Ghost Rider was another guy. And like, so Johnny Blaze was kind of like the Marvel Constantine because he also wore a trench coat.
Yeah.
And Morbius got his own book and he was more tied to the Ghost Rider than he was to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think Blade had a book again.
He was in the Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah, the Night Stalkers were like a team. They had like six books based around Ghost Rider. So he was definitely popular enough and that book lasted a long time.
All right, so they put him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but this is the new Ghost Rider, like the current Ghost Rider, where he has like a car.
Yeah, and has that happened in the comics? Because I've never seen Ghost Rider with a car.
Very
it didn't bother
recently,
me.
Like right around Secret Wars, either before or after, maybe throughout, they introduced like a new Latino Ghost Rider, right? Is the guy in the show Latino?
Yeah, his name is Robbie. Is it Robbie Reyes? I want to say Robbie
Something
Reyes,
like that, yeah. And he's like. He rides like a low rider type car, I think. I don't know anything about cars. My dad would be ashamed.
It's like a big muscle car.
A muscle car.
In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's got kind of like the vents that come out.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about cars
My
either.
Dad could tell you the year, the make, the model, all that
I
shit.
I don't even know why they have those vents in front.
Yeah.
More air?
I don't know.
but he has nerds. But he has one of those and like fire shoots out of it.
Yeah. So that's like the new Ghost Rider. In the show... What do they do?
That's pretty much it. He has the car in the show.
That's it. But like, how does he show up? Does he have like a skull and it's on fire?
Yeah, but you know what? This is what disappointing
Spoilers
about.
Spoilers are going to happen here now, I guess.
Yeah, but you know, it's the first episode and they don't do a lot of plot in it. And you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I've talked about it for a while. We're in season four now and it's like, it's always kind of boring.
My roommate is obsessed with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Enjoys it more than I do because I'm still watching it. And I'm not enjoying that hour as much as Brittany
is.
Just
know that she enjoys it so much that she rewatches. She's probably watched the entire series of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like 4 or 5 times.
Because it's on Netflix.
Yeah, we've got it on Netflix, and it's like she fucking loves it.
Yeah, I keep watching it just to see if it'll kind of enhance what's going on in the movies, and not really. I mean, there's a mention of the Sokovia Accords, like...
Yeah, they force the movies, or that show to tie into the movies.
Yeah, and
there's really three different Marvel universes in the cinema, because it's the Netflix properties, which all tie together.
Right.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is kind of its own thing that dabbles in the movies and has, like, C-list characters from the movies transfer over. And then the movies, which just do their own thing and just carry the other two in their wake, you know?
Yeah, and then there's Fox with the X-Men.
Well, so but like, that's like, but
just,
yeah, I'm
you're
saying like the
just
stuff
Marvel
that's in
Studios.
Continuity that yeah. Marvel controls.
Yeah, it's in continuity, but not quite, because there's been a lot of people asking, hey, when you get to Infinity War, it's going to be everybody. Will Daredevil be in it? And they're like,
I think Daredevil might be in it. I think it's
I
a bit of a stretch.
I think there's so many characters in the movies now that it's like...
But like anyone thinking that like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. people are going to show up in that movie are dreaming.
No, well, they basically said once... Clark Gregg moved over to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he was never going to be in a movie again because they don't trust enough people to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And they took a whole season to explain how he came back from the dead from Avengers, and they're just like, well, we're
how
not going to
compress that for everyone watching.
Yeah, so it's like, why don't
we
just
watch that show?
We don't do that again, and you know what? We can just have Maria Hill say anything that Agent Coulson was going
to
say.
Right. There's no plot reason for him to be in it other than, you know.
Yeah, so I don't quite know why Ghost Rider was in this other than ratings.
Well, I think
because like Sky was like hunting him down and watches him like kill some gangsters. But there's like a few different plot lines running because it's a season premiere.
Right.
So they're like, well, this is what Agent Coulson and Melinda May are doing. Well, this is what Fitz and Simmons are doing. And the whole show is not about Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
So Ghost Rider maybe
that's
in 10
how the
minutes.
Advertisements, it seemed like they were going to take like a whole. Like, they did the Inhumans already. I don't know if that wrapped up.
It's still going.
The
they mentioned the Inhumans a few times. Because, you know, Quake is an Inhuman.
Yeah, she's, like, the closest thing that show has to, like, an actual superhero.
Right.
But it seems like with Ghost Rider, I thought that was where this whole series was going to go now, was it was going to take a more, like, mystical approach.
And it might. And, you know, we
and start dealing with, like, demons and hell.
Well,
and
you know, we
stuff.
Have Doctor Strange coming soon.
Right.
So now it's time to start talking about magic in the Marvel Universe.
And you think about it, too. When Doctor Strange comes out, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will do the obligatory like tie-in episode to Doctor Strange, right? It'll
oh, yeah,
be like,
definitely.
Oh, this crazy magic
There's
portal
magic.
Thing
and you
opened.
Know what? Yeah, maybe they pick up a plot thread from Doctor Strange and run that into Ghost Rider.
Right.
Because Ghost Rider and Doctor Strange live pretty comfortably.
Yeah, but did they do his like flaming skull and all that
they
stuff?
Do, but you can tell there's only so much budget for it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cutting around it, and there's a lot of him, and it's like it's not so much that he turns into Ghost Rider like Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk as much as, like, he turns into Ghost Rider when he uses his power.
Okay.
So it's like, you could tell they were like, all right, you can have five shots of a claim skull. And he looks good. And
yeah.
I actually didn't know it was going to be this character, so.
Yeah, because you were expecting the guy in the motorcycle.
Well, yeah. Well, I was also wondering is, what was the name? Danny Ketch was the 90s Ghost Rider.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure which Ghost Rider is going to be because we've already mentioned four of them. I knew it wasn't going to be the Western one.
Yeah.
But I was wondering since the Nicolas Cage movies were, I think one wasn't Marvel Studios and one was maybe.
I don't think...
The second one was definitely Marvel Studios and Idris Elba, the one that Idris Elba was in.
Wait,
Spirits of Vengeance.
Elba was in one of those movies?
Yes, but not as Heimdall.
Really?
He was a different character.
Well, yeah, but there's no way those were done by Marvel Studios.
I'm looking at...
And I'm only saying that because all the Marvel Studios movies are directly reference and deal with each other. Like, they have hard crossover between
them. Yeah, but there's already been some soft reboots and recasting in the Marvel Universe. So I thought it could have been Johnny Blaze, and it could have been... It could well have been a... move like Bruce Banner being Mark Ruffalo and not Edward Norton, who look nothing like each other, and they don't really talk about it, but the Hulk movie did count. I mean, we had Thunderbolt Ross in Civil War,
but even
played
Mark,
by William Hurt, who played him in
right,
the Ed Norton version.
But in that Ed Norton movie for sure counts because Ross is the same guy.
Right.
They mention in one of the shorts that the Abomination is in lockup. And Banner says to Stark says, you should come to Stark Tower. And Banner says, last time I was in New York, I kind of broke Harlem.
Yeah.
The fight with the Abomination takes place
yes.
in Harlem. So that movie definitely counts.
Yeah, it does. Oh, you know what? I am totally mistaken because I'm looking at a news article that says Marvel Studios has gotten Ghost Rider back.
So that was maybe one of the properties they sold away.
Right. In fact, they were planning a Ghost Rider 3. And,
oh, God.
It didn't happen.
Thank God.
So, but I was wondering if it was going to be a soft sequel, like they would just recast Johnny Blaze, and they didn't use that character. And I was like, well, maybe it's Danny Ketch. And I didn't know about this new character.
Yeah, because it's Ghost Rider, and who the fuck cares?
Right, and they rebooted it
not
so
to
many
be harsh,
times.
But...
There's people that like him,
yeah.
And sure, that's great. But he's not. He's never been A-list.
He's not.
I remember when the first Ghost Rider movie came out with Nicolas Cage. I remember my friend Mike Drucker is another guy who's been on the show. a few times, was really disappointed, and the girl he was with at the time was like, oh, do you feel really bad because they made a bad movie out of a great character? He's like, no, I feel bad because they made a bad movie out of a bad character.
And he likes Ghost Rider?
No.
Oh, yeah. See, it's like one of those, that's the thing. I never saw those Ghost Rider movies because even when they made them, I was like, I don't fucking care about Ghost Rider.
They're ridiculous. I rented them both from Netflix. Yeah. Just to see it. Because at that point, I mean, we've only gotten to the point a couple of years ago, and I talked about this when the Fantastic Four movie came out. We are at the point now where there's so much superhero stuff on screen that you can't watch it all.
Yeah, there's stuff now for sure you can skip.
Like, up to 5 years ago, you would see everything that anybody made from any superhero because it was so rare.
Right.
Like, you know, I went and paid to see the Spawn movie. Because there wasn't that much else that they made.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the, it was like the only superhero movie that year. But now it's like we're in a year where 40 superhero movies comes out. It's like, yeah, I don't need to go see every one of these. Or I remember seeing like multiple times I'd go to see Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 3. Now it's like, I saw X-Men. They fought Apocalypse and that was cool. But I might never see that movie again, you know?
Yeah, I accidentally bought it.
What?
I was trying to add it to my wish list to decide if I was going to buy it, and then I got an email saying I bought it.
So you, oh, well, there you go.
So I was like, I wasn't really inspired enough one way or the other to cancel it.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I guess I own X-Men Apocalypse now.
Yeah, and it's, yeah.
I'll watch it when it shows up.
Exactly. It's one of those ones you can watch, and it's like, okay, you know, when it's cool to see Apocalypse, and Storm looks great.
And all the X-Men movies have been like that. Like, is there a really great one? And I mean, X-Men 2 is the best one, but like Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man, and I don't watch that a lot.
Right.
But to be fair, with the Marvel movies, Marvel movies are great, but they come out so frequently that I kind of watch each one 3 times, and then I don't watch it again. I can't tell you the last time I watched Avengers.
I could.
Well, yeah. What was the last time you watched Iron Man?
Actually, that's not fair, because I watch those Marvel movies pretty regularly.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of like go-tos at the store, where it's like, I'll grab the first one of each of them, and I'll watch those for a week, and then I'll grab all the sequels, and I watch those for a week, and then I'll remember I own Guardians of the Galaxy, and then I'll watch that for a week. It's like, I have a lot of downtime at the store, and...
Well, and the TV's always on even when you are busy.
Right. There's a couple employees that don't ever have the TV on, like Tina and Lisa never really use the TV, Sarah never uses the TV. I always have the TV on, and it's usually a Marvel movie, one of the Marvel Studios movie, just because it's like they're mindless, you know? It's just like, yeah, well, I can look up and see a good joke. I know them. I don't have to pay attention.
And that's the good and the bad thing about Marvel movies. They're always really entertaining, and I loved Civil War, and I just got the Blu-ray, and I watched it twice already.
Yeah.
I think it's a great movie, but in 2 years, I might stop watching it. And, you know, we were watching Civil War, and... And I truly believe, as good as Spider-Man is in that movie, it's Ant-Man who steals that movie.
I actually disagree. I think it's Black Panther.
Black Panther's really good, but I think Paul Rudd shows up, he takes that whole movie, and then he walks out.
The best thing about that, it's the probably one of my favorite moments in that whole movie, if not the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, is as soon as he turns into Giant Man, which alone would have been an awesome thing.
Yeah, which again, I believe, we talked about this when Ant-Man came out, was supposed to be the end of Ant-Man.
Kevin Feige
or somebody was like, no, if he does this in the middle of fighting every superhero,
yeah,
and it's a better moment.
It is. And the fact that they zoom in on his face and he's just like, oh, it's like, that is just the funniest fucking thing in 10 movies that they've done.
Yeah, it gets me every time.
Yeah.
I was, you know what I've been saying to people lately?
What?
It was like, oh yeah, I know you too. You're great.
You're great.
I've been saying that. It's a throwaway line. It's not a big joke, and I didn't really notice it.
Yeah.
But when I saw it again, that whole scene when he comes out of the van and he's like, oh, Captain America, thanks for thanking me.
Yeah.
It's just like these little Paul Rudd jokes.
Yeah.
But when I was watching it, I was like, hey, when was the last time I saw Ant-Man? Probably last year when it was the newest Marvel movie.
Right. And maybe that's what it is that you're just watching whatever the newest movie comes out, because they come out 2 or 3 years now?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years. So it's kind of like you watch a really expensive TV episode because they're so serialized, because they're so of their moment. So I wonder how they're going to be. Whereas when DC movies are good, which admittedly, they're all Batman.
Few and far between.
But, you know, you're going to be watching Dark Knight for the next 25 years.
Yeah, and it's a thing. It's like Suicide Squad's a good example. I know we disagree about this. I like Suicide Squad. That's a movie I want to get on DVD, and it's one of those ones like, that'll be a movie I'll watch repeatedly at the store. But I haven't, like, done that with Deadpool. I saw Deadpool once
in theaters.
Well,
Deadpool you can't watch in the store. Well, I can't watch it in the store.
And I like it. It's a good movie. But I think Suicide Squad, I can watch it at the store. It's fun. I don't have to pay attention to it. I don't have to think about it. Mm. It's just, like, a movie I can put on, and every once in a while I can look at me like, ah, there's Deadshot doing a cool thing. Ah, Captain Boomerang. Look at him fight the Flash in a bank vault. It's just, like, it did everything I needed it to do.
Yeah, I saw problems. If they do an extended cut of that, I would be interested, just because that story was so hacked up.
Yeah, I think they say they're going to do an extended cut.
Did I tell you about the last time I saw Deadpool?
No.
So we were flying back from San Francisco a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and Ben
yeah.
really, really wants to see Deadpool. And it was on the plane. And I was like, he's begging me. And finally, I was like, all right, you can look at it, but you can't listen to it. Well, and I realized this movie visually is PG-13.
It's... The language is
awful. I think there's some boobs and stuff, but yeah, it's the language. Like, as I had the headphones on and I wouldn't let him plug his headphones in, and he's watching the fight and enjoying it, and everything he says, I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I'm not letting my kid listen to this.
Yeah, because it's like ridiculous, you know?
Oh, it's great. It's a great movie for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect for what it is, and but it's totally not kid appropriate, and there shouldn't be a cut of that movie that is, you know?
Right. But getting back to Ghost Rider, I believe the fact that he showed up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. means that that's all the value Marvel sees in this character now. They tried two movies.
Yeah.
They both didn't work. And they were like, well, people still care about him, so he can elevate this show a little bit.
So do you think it's like the movies, they can really only do two, and I think they're starting to push it to three a year, but it's like... Yeah, they're not going to make a Ghost Rider movie when Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Spider-Man, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, now Ant-Man, and presumably Doctor Strange are all marketable movies that all require sequels, right?
I think the bigger thing is they already made two movies and they didn't make money. I mean, and now that I'm correcting myself, they were Marvel Studios movies, but they know people don't really want to go to see Ghost
Rider.
Do you
think the same thing then applies to the Hulk, where they tried two Hulk movies, one of Marvel Studios, one...
Yeah, well, Marvel Studios has said that, and but I have read that actually the rights are more complicated, that Universal hasn't exactly given up the rights.
Yeah.
The Universal has a deal like Sony does, where they're letting Marvel use the character, but Marvel can't make a movie. The difference is Spider-Man's a much more popular character than the Hulk, so Sony wants to keep making Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
And they'll let Marvel do it creatively if they can get the money.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You know, obviously, Spider-Man's one of those characters where it's like, no matter who's making a Spider-Man movie, people are going to go see it. You know, Hulk, I'd still like to see a Hulk movie. I'm glad they're kind of putting him in Thor, but I think that's where they kind of see him as like, well, Black Widow showed up in Iron Man 2, so Hulk can show up in Thor 3.
Yeah,
you know?
They're seeing him as a supporting character. I mean, and I think they're seeing Black Widow and Hawkeye like that too. There was a lot of talk about a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie that was going to be Samuel L. Jackson, Jeremy Renner, and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
And then they announced the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, and
that movie
just
goodbye.
Went away.
It'll never happen.
Yeah, now we're hearing Inhumans is off the schedule, so we may never get to that. It seems what keeps happening with Marvel movies, they announce like seven of them, and then one does really well, and they announce a sequel, and it kicks something else off the slate.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I'm saying, is it seems like there's a lot of stuff lined up for what's supposed to come out in the next couple years. But like you said, as soon as they got Spider-Man, all talk of an Inhumans movie went away, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was like, we'll do the Inhumans.
Yeah, and they were already talking about the Inhumans. And they were talking on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but the Inhumans movie wasn't going to come out until 2019. I was like, how are you guys going to talk about these characters for 3 years but not really do anything?
And that's the thing is, like, you know, all right, you can do the Inhumans, but don't talk about Black Bolt.
Right.
You could do the Inhumans, but don't use Karnak. It's like they won't let them use any Inhuman you can name, they won't use.
There's honestly, the Marvel TV division is treated kind of like Fox.
Here's the characters you can have,
here's the characters you can't.
Right, and it's like they just won't ever give them anything serious because they never really know. I mean, as soon as Guardians of the Galaxy made money, it was like, oh, fuck. It's like they could really make anything
popular.
You
know? Why are they making these decisions? Like, why is Doctor Strange a movie? Like, why isn't Doctor Strange a Netflix show considering the awareness of the character? You know, I mean,
I think it is, honestly. Iron Man, same thing. Iron Man was a character a lot of people weren't aware of. Now, we take it for granted maybe that Iron Man's like a household name. 15 years ago, no one fucking knew who Iron Man was.
Right.
You know, same thing with Doctor Strange. You get the right guy to do it. Benedict Cumberbatch is like a very popular guy, kind of a household name. You get him to do Doctor Strange, put a serious budget behind it. Robert Downey Jr. retires in a couple years or doesn't want to do Iron Man anymore. There's your guy to carry the franchise.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely building up enough guys. And, you know,
they're banking on it,
They're not so worried about Robert Downey Jr. anymore now that they have, you know, Chris Pratt and Paul Rudd and Benedict Cumberbatch.
The Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, but what I'm wondering is, yeah, Doctor Strange is lower tier, but, like, is he much higher tier than Luke Cage, who's getting a Netflix show?
Like, only in the think in the sense that visually, Doctor Strange, there's a lot more you can do because it's going to be so effects heavy. You know, Daredevil did effects and Jessica Jones did effects.
And to be fair, with Daredevil and the Punisher, who are now on Netflix, we've had Daredevil and Punisher movies that bombed. Like Ghost Rider. Marvel Studios didn't make it, but they're not willing to put another one out.
Right. And and we've talked about this before. Guys like Daredevil and Punisher, they need a TV show. They don't work. They're better serialized characters than they are one-off adventures. I'd much rather have a Daredevil show.
But Doctor Strange is as popular as Daredevil. Now, granted, as I said, what takes Daredevil out of the running is that he already had his turn at bat.
Right, but I think the problem with Doctor Strange is every single thing Doctor Strange does is so effects heavy. Daredevil's a guy in a suit running around on a rooftop. You know, I wouldn't say Batman makes a good show. Batman makes a better movie because once you get away from the Joker, all his villains need effects. Mr. Freeze needs effects. Clayface needs effects. Bane needs effects. All these guys do things.
We have had a lot of Batman shows.
We have. But Batman's one of those interesting characters that I think works in both worlds. I think you can do a big budget Batman movie, and they probably, if they do an Arrow show, they could do a Batman
show. Honestly, the way they do Gotham, good or bad, but the money they put into it, that could be a Batman show if you just had Batman in it.
Right. Yeah. At this point, it should just be the Batman show.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, with Doctor Strange, it's so effects heavy. It doesn't really make sense for that to be a show. Name one other show that would have that kind of level of effects.
Right.
That could afford to do it, you know?
That's a good point. And from what we've seen from the trailer, it seems like there's a lot of Matrix and Inception type stuff on in this.
And it's, you know, all the jokes online, it's like, oh, it's a sequel to Inception because they have a lot of the same effects. But it's like, you know, Inception might have invented the visual language of what Doctor Strange will be, but I think it's like they certainly don't have the market on weird things you can do with, like, landscape. And it's like, even if Inception never existed, Doctor Strange probably would have come up with something similar to that. Yeah. It's not like it's Inception's the kind of thing where it happened when it happened. Somebody was going to do a movie like that where, like, the planet folds on itself or whatever, and you can warp reality like that. Like, if Inception didn't do it, it was supposed to be in X-Men First Class was supposed to have a fight that was very similar to the fight in Inception that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has in, like, an apartment.
Like, going up on the ceiling and in the
hotel.
Yeah,
and in the hotel. And I guess the director for First Class went to see that movie, and as soon as he saw it, he was like, fuck, they took my idea. Basically meaning he was coming up with something similar. Probably was going to look identical, obviously, but it was similar enough to where he rewrote or took that out of it so it didn't look like he was ripping it. Enough times passed, like I said, if Inception ever came out, Doctor Strange, read those old comics. I mean, it's going to look trippy and
well, you
confusing.
Just got the omnibus.
Yeah, the omnibus came out this week. It's every issue Ditko did of Doctor Strange in backups in the Strange Tales with Nick Fury and Human Torch originally.
It was originally Human Torch, and then it switched to Nick Fury, Agent Shield.
Yeah, and I've read a couple of the Ditko, but not all of them. But this is kind of, I'm not a huge Ditko fan. He's one of those guys where I feel like, not embarrassed, but it's like I felt when I first saw Jack Kirby. I was like, why does everyone make a big deal about Jack Kirby? And then you get older and you kind of start to realize what comics looked like at that time. And then you read, like, really good Kirby stuff, like Fantastic Four issues 45 to 55, which is where I'm reading now in the omnibus.
No, it's 45 to 70. You just haven't
gotten
there.
That far. But what I'm saying is, like, the stuff I'm reading, it's like, oh, these are, I was two issues into the 40s, or the, I think, yeah, it was like 43, 44, 45. They started to do like the Inhumans and Medusa and the Frightful Four. And it, I got to one issue and I was like, oh, this panel explains Mike Mignola's entire career. And it's, Ditko feels like one of those guys to me where I don't really get why people really like him. It's really quirky art. I'll give the guy credit because he created
Spider-Man,
the one of the best superhero costumes of all time.
Yep.
Spider-Man's original costume is probably one of the best costumes of all time.
So why he wears it now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been slight tweaks. They've done major redesigns. They don't last.
Right. And it's, you know, look at Batman's original costume. It's changed substantially over the years, and the current costume is much different. Superman's very first costume, substantially different than what he wears now and even what he was wearing 20 years ago. Spider-Man's one of those ones where it's like the guy just, it fucking lightning struck. He had a great idea for a costume and he nailed it. And that's the, so, but the Doctor Strange stuff specifically, if there was a book Ditko should have been drawing, it's Doctor Strange, because it's all this like weird dimensional shit. And you'd think the guy was like a super duper like druggy, like eating mushrooms left
not
and right
at all.
He is a super straight edge, like Ayn Rand like guy, and he's like lives in his little apartment in New York, and this guy just still just sits around making comic books.
He's
like,
not come out for any of the Spider-Man movies.
He doesn't do any of that stuff.
He won't come out for Doctor Strange.
No, and you know, he'll get the credit, and I'm sure he'll hopefully collect a big paycheck for it. He deserves it. But the guy couldn't care less about this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to pick up the Omnibus, because Ditko is one of those guys that has a signature style. And yeah. I don't know that they're going to do that. I didn't see anything Ditko like in the trailer, whereas like the first Thor had some Kirby going on.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of the thing is like I'm going to try to, I really want to get to that Uncanny X-Men Volume 3 Omnibus. It's kind of like the next one I've been eyeing once I get through Fantastic Four.
You're like the end of John Byrne and then Paul Smith.
Yeah, because I've never read the Paul Smith stuff.
Paul Smith stuff is great.
Paul Smith's awesome. So, but I, what I think I want to do is, because this month's been crazy, October's going to be a shit show, I'm not going to have a lot of time before Doctor Strange comes out. I want to read all those issues before it comes out so I can see if they're referencing anything particularly.
Here's a question for you, Omnibus-wise. If they did a Ghost Rider Omnibus.
Nope. and it's the same thing. It's like, because fucking name me one great run on Ghost Rider. You know, you mentioned a couple great issues. I've read a couple good issues of Ghost Rider. There isn't a single run on Ghost Rider I can point to and be like, this is the great Ghost Rider. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I might just not be aware of it. I'm not claiming to be some sophisticated expert on this stuff, but there isn't anything I've ever heard of where everyone's like, oh, you gotta read this Ghost Rider. Like, Moon Knight's a character I don't really care for, but a lot of people talk about Sienkiewicz's Moon Knight, and it's like, yeah, I'll get to it eventually. I'll read it. I'll look for it. They've got the Epic Collection trades are out, which are really cool. I'll get to that, but it's like, there's nothing Ghost Rider that appeals to me. I'm not a huge Silver Surfer fan. But if they ever put that John Buscema trade or omnibus back in stock,
Stan Lee,
I'm
going to
order
Buscema,
in a fucking heartbeat,
it's
because it's awesome. And he has that great fight with Thor in issue 4 or 5 or whatever.
I'm surprised
it is.
They haven't, although that the initial run came out because of Fantastic Four. Because
of the Rise of Silver Surfer.
Yeah, and these omnibuses tend to track the movies pretty closely, which
really
is why
do.
You know, I knew there'd be a Doctor Strange omnibus coming out.
Yeah, and that's great. And it's one of those ones like, you know, Doctor Strange is a good example. Not a character I particularly care for. I don't really know a lot of good runs on Doctor Strange. The Ditko one notwithstanding, because of the art and, you know, it's the original run of it. The only one I'd like to get is if they do Bacchello, Jason Aaron, and I don't know what
Bacchello. Yeah.
I don't know what his first name is.
Chris,
they're doing an awesome run on Doctor Strange, and I normally hate Chris Bacchello's art.
I like
Bacchello, but on Doctor Strange, it's perfect.
I like Bacchello, but he's only right for certain things. And
right,
Doctor Strange would be one.
It's one of them. It's been great, and they're like 22 issues in or something like this. They maybe a little less. They just wrapped up like their first big story arc, and it's been a great book. And it's like Doctor Strange is one of those guys. He's cool on the Defenders. I like him in the big crossovers. Never really care for him in any other context, but, you know, if they ever do that in an omnibus, they'll get my money.
Yeah. You know what else they just announced from Doctor Strange? Hot Toys.
like a Benedict Cumberbatch
Hot Toys, yeah.
And you're not doing the Marvels anymore, right?
I can't because they change their costumes every single year with
the
movies.
That's deliberate.
And that was my point before, is that they're not timeless in the way that, like, the Batman movies, like, they lock down to a certain era.
And they stick with it, yeah.
Yeah, like you can tell an Adam West from a Michael Keaton from a Christian Bale, whereas, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s been in 8 movies and he's looked different. Even his beard changes from movie to
movie.
Yeah,
it's not consistent. It's funny to watch those first that first Iron Man movie, because his like hair's
long.
It's not quite right. It's not what I picture. His beard's fuller and stuff. It just looks a little off because I'm used to what he looks like now. But well, if I can't sit on your shelf, at least I'll get to see it in previews. You know,
the greatest thing in the world
this week.
So, we already talked about it, but the Jack Kirby Volume 2 Stan Lee Fantastic Four is, you know, you always hear the hype. It's like, oh, how good could it be? Could it live up to the hype? And they did, Medusa's been in the books for months, but as, like, a villain. And then they do it where they're like, oh, she's an Inhuman, and here's Black Bolt, and here's Karnak, and Gorgon, and all these guys. And then, like, they jump right from that into, like, the Galactus stuff. And then the Galactus stuff's about to wrap up, and they're jumping right into,
This Man, This Monster?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where, like, and it's like, this is kind of the book. You know, the first couple issues of Fantastic Four, I've got the first volume. There's a lot of great stuff in that volume one, but they're still rusty. They're still trying to figure out what it is. Like, they don't have costumes in the first couple issues, and they don't really mention what city they're in. Now they're at the point in the book where they're like, they're in New York City. There's other heroes walking around. They did the wedding issue a couple issues before this, where Reed and Sue get married, and that's kind of like... that's like a benchmark for me. It seems like that's the first crossover in comics, because they put everything in the kitchen sink in that first in that wedding issue.
And it was their flagship book back then.
It is awesome. And it's just really cool to see. And then they stopped doing it in the last couple issues, but in the issues before it, they'd always give synopses of what was coming out in all the other issues, because Marvel's only putting out like a dozen issues a month. So they'd be like, here's what's happening in Spider-Man this month, and here's what's happening in Thor this month, and here's what the Avengers are doing. So it's cool to line it up and see, okay, the Fantastic Four is on issue 36, and Avengers is on issue 16, and Cap's about to change the team. And oh, I know what's happening, issue 21 in Spider-Man is, he's going to fight the Scorpion for the first time. So it's cool to kind of have the context of like the letters pages to see when these books were coming out in relation to the other books.
Yeah.
But it's like... to see these two guys, like Stanley and Jack Kirby, obviously Fantastic Four is like the greatest book that the two of them ever worked on together. Their Thor's is great, but Fantastic Four is like, it's like firing on all cylinders. It's like, it is no question why it was like the best comic that was coming out at the time. It's just awesome. And like I said, it's some of the early ones weren't as easy to get through. But it's like they had a fight with like Dragon Man, and then they went right into the Inhumans, then Galactus, and then This Man, This Monster stuff. And it's like, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is
beyond my ability to describe.
It really
how
gets
good
going.
It is.
It's the Beatles of comic books. It's like of its time, but it's so incredible for comics history, and it's still really entertaining today.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing I'm most surprised about. A lot of comics from the 60s, obviously, they don't read anything like comics do now. They're usually full stories. They don't last for 6 issues.
Yeah, small panels.
Yeah, small panels. Usually the 6 panel pages, which is like not a thing I'm a big fan of. But it's these hold up. They're really, really good. And it's like, you know, it's just cool to see even how, like, obviously we know all this stuff about Black Bolt now, where he can't talk and because his whispers can break mountains and all this stuff. But it's like in those first couple issues, he doesn't say anything, and they don't really tell you why. They're like, oh, he has a secret, but he doesn't talk. Why doesn't he talk? They don't do it in his first appearance. He's out of the book now, and he'll come back in a couple issues, but he's out now. And they don't do it in that first couple issues. They don't do the, oh, if he whispers, a whole mountain will explode.
He's just really strong in the first one. It doesn't
He's just
talk.
Strong and can fly, and he has, like, a super crazy karate blow that, like, could take out anybody.
And a magnet on his head.
Yeah.
Which Lockjaw also has.
Right. You know, because why not? And it's like, it's really cool. And it's cool to see that stuff has, knowing now what I know of how those characters evolved, but like seeing their origins is really cool. The one I'm looking forward to the most, and I've already read it, but it's kind of going to be cool to read it as it comes out, is after Galactus, like the next big thing is the first appearance of the Black Panther. And to read, like, all that stuff again. You know, I've read it before because it's, like, one of my favorite characters. But, like, that's the kind of stuff where it's just, like, to read it monthly is, like, okay, so they the Inhumans, and then they did Galactus, and then this man, this monster, and then, like, it's a couple issues after that, I think. I was looking on the back, they have all the covers.
Yeah, the very next issue is Black Panther.
Yeah, it's, like, it's coming up. So it's, like, that's the next big one I'm looking
forward
to.
Claw's coming soon.
Claw's awesome.
Blastar, the Living Bomb Burst.
Yeah.
So many good ones.
Dr. Doom comes back again.
The Sentry Sinister is one of my favorite issues.
Which one's, is that the Kree Sentry?
Yeah, the Kree Sentry.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And see, that's the good stuff. It's, like, if you've never read it, yeah, they have all this stuff's collected in either Omnibus or Graphic Novel or something.
I think there's Epic Collections,
there's too. Epic Collections for this time. You don't have to buy it from me. It'd be nice if you did. But you should... everyone owes it to themselves to kind of read these. Is like, basically, if you think about it, the Fantastic Four was the best-selling comic book at that time. And they were doing all this crazy stuff in Marvel. They were doing Thor and all this other stuff. And basically, the idea of Galactus was Stanley and Jack Kirby were like, well, they fought a king, they fought this, they fought that. And they were basically like, well, what would it be like if they fought God? And that's basically what Galactus was supposed to be, was like them fighting like a god. And it's just like, it's a better 4 or 5 issues or 3 or 4 issues or whatever it is than any knucklehead who's getting paid 6 or 8 times as much as these guys got paid for, with way longer deadlines. And no one's coming anywhere near close to what these were. And it's the thing that infuriates me, is like these last 20 issues, you could chop them up and make the best superhero trilogy in movies ever. And they fucking can't figure out how to do it.
It's so disappointing about that Fantastic Four Silver Surfer movie. It looked like they were going to do it, and then they just didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, you're also coming up to the story where Dr. Doom steals Silver Surfer's powers.
Yeah.
And then he gets on his surfboard and flies around, and they did that in the movie instead.
And it's like, you know, there's a lot of good stuff to do, and I get that they focus on Doom because he's like with a person everyone knows, but it's like, you really could do the Fantastic Four versus the Inhumans as a whole movie. You really could do them versus Silver Surfer as a whole movie. Them versus Galactus as a whole movie. It's like, and go for it. Just fucking go for it. Make a giant fucking guy with a purple hat, and he's all over the city, and he's shooting fireballs and blasting icebergs out of buildings. It's like, do all that crazy shit. And it's like, a really good example of it is, like, I read Marvels before I read this, and Alex Ross and Kurt Busiek did an awesome job of showing what the everyman's perspective of, like, what Galactus would be like. And, I mean, Alex Ross painted panels exactly as Kirby drew them. And
I didn't notice until the last time I read Marvels, which is maybe a year ago, is that he does those panels exactly like Kirby, but each one of those is a full page spread.
Yeah.
And it's every other page is a full page spread from those issues where, and the page next were just small panels of normal people.
Right. And it's awesome. And it just kind of reinforces, it's like a good thing. Marvel's a great book I read when I was a teenager because I was really in Alex Ross and he did Kingdom Come, so this was like his other big thing he did.
Oh, so you read it after Kingdom Come.
Yeah, because I came into comics a little bit later, and it was awesome. And it was one of those ones where I've reread it since I've read a lot of those issues that they reference, like the death of Gwen Stacy and all this other stuff. And it's like enhances the read of that book so much more, knowing or reading those first appearances of a lot of that stuff, or like the original basis of what those books were based on. And it's just kind of awesome. And it, like I said, it's one of those books, it's like, people, oh, you haven't read Preacher? And it's like, fuck Preacher.
Preacher's really good.
And I know it's good, but go fucking read the first appearance of Galactus for fucking Comic Books 101. It's like, it's just, they fucking knock it out of the park.
Yeah,
it's
I'm glad you're reading these, but you should still read Preacher, and you should read Sandman.
Yes.
Come on, what are you doing?
I agree. I'm not saying I shouldn't. I'm just saying it's just like, you know, got priorities, man.
Well, my greatest thing in the world this week is something I haven't even read yet, but I just bought it, and it's enough to make me happy. Norm Macdonald put out his autobiography called Based on a True Story, which apparently is because he just writes whatever he wants, and he starts telling him about his story, and then he'll just go off on a tangent.
Yeah.
And he reads the audiobook. So I downloaded the audiobook.
Yeah.
And it's 9 hours of Norm MacDonald. And the last That's time incredible. I was this excited was Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants, which I heard listened to her read.
I listened to her read. That was fantastic.
It was really
and,
great.
And yeah, as soon as...
Or Steve Martin's Born Standing Up, which he read.
Oh, really? I didn't read
that's
that. Maybe I'll read that
very
next.
Worth it.
Okay. And I owe a trip to the library as soon as I get some
yeah,
free time.
That one's been out a while, so you may be able to get that. But I haven't even done it yet, but Norm MacDonald, I think, for me personally, is the funniest stand-up I've ever seen. I love him in everything.
Yeah, he's really weird and unsettling. You know, I love Norm MacDonald, but it's like I don't know whether to laugh or kind of like be like, huh?
No, I know when to laugh. And I've been loving him lately on the Mike Tyson Mysteries. He plays a pigeon. And he plays just a filthy pigeon who gets into fights with a 19th century ghost who's played by Jim Rash, who was the dean on Community. And Mike Tyson plays himself. And it's very clear that Mike Tyson doesn't really know where the jokes are, so he just reads whatever they give to him.
Yeah, I appreciate that about Mike Tyson.
I love that show so much. And it's one of those things. Norm pops up like once every couple of years and just destroys, and then he goes away again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and, you know, he's had, you know, people remember him for Saturday Night Live, and he had a Dirty Work, the movie. He had a couple of other movies. He had a sitcom on ABC for a while, which I bought on Amazon because nobody offers it. Hulu doesn't have it. Amazon doesn't have it unless you buy the discs from them. Netflix doesn't have it. So I own, like, 3 seasons of the show, which is not that good, but it's Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, he's like, he's like, if Jeff Goldblum is the center of the bullseye, Norm MacDonald's on the dartboard, but he's so fringe. You know what I mean? It's like, I'll never...
He's like one of the numbers on the dartboard?
Yeah, it's like, he could be reading out of the phone book, and I'd pay attention. Just because he's such a weird... He's a weird guy.
Yeah, he's brilliant in that
he's
way.
He's so weird, and he's one of those guys where I don't understand him... But I know he's a brilliant guy. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's something, he's on a different wavelength than anybody else.
Yeah, and that's what I love about him.
And it's so interesting to see just a guy that odd.
I saw him years ago at Caroline's, and it was one of the most.
Like, you saw like a stand-up.
I saw him
of
do
his?
Stand-up, and it was so interesting. And Artie Lang showed up very high and stumbled on stage and hugged him. So it was an interesting night all around. It was when Artie was still having trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did the show together, they did Dirty Work together, so they are good friends. But Norm MacDonald doesn't think like anybody else, and he's so dry.
Yeah,
he's so weird and dark, but he's so dry. And it took me a long time to realize that I like guys that are a little bit detached like that.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where, you know, a lot of people follow Carlin. A lot of guys follow...
Oh, I've rediscovered Carlin, too. An addendum is George Carlin's new album of unreleased material just came out last week.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned this.
I listened to it on Spotify. It's really good. A lot of it got repurposed later.
Sure.
So, like, I'm hearing jokes and I'm like, oh, yeah, he did this one in 2008.
Yeah.
He did this one in 2006. So, it's not new. It's not like this amazing masterpiece, but it's really good and it's kind of got me to go back to all the other ones.
Yeah.
There is an incredible Norm MacDonald album called, I think it's called Hilarious, but it's all sketches.
Yeah.
And there's a sketch of, this will bring it all together, and then we'll get out of here. There is a sketch. Ridiculous is the name of the album. Mike Drucker gave it to me when it came out. And it's not stand-up. It's old Norm doing sketches. And he does a sketch where he's Reed Richards naming everyone in the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And go to YouTube.
And find it.
And when we finish the show, I'm going to play for Steven. So I want to get out of here now. So you can follow me at Not On My Book in Twitter. That is the Twitter feed for Caffeinated Comics. You can like our Facebook page. Lots of things on Facebook. We both just posted the hashtag that's going around, Describe Yourself in Three Fictional Characters. And I agree with both of us.
Yeah.
So take a look to see what the hosts of this show think of themselves. They are not aspirational.
No.
And then you can listen to us on iTunes. You can subscribe or on Stitcher or you can listen to us every episode on caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com. And Steven?
Yeah, so I got a real quick plug. I'm at 19 South LaGrange Road, where you all should come the first Saturday of October. We're doing 24-hour comics book day, which is my least favorite day of the year. From Friday night at midnight until Saturday night at midnight, we're going to be in the store. We're going to be open for the entire 24 hours. A lot of people who are going to be at the store are going to be trying to draw a comic book, a 24-page comic book, inside the 24 hours. If that doesn't interest you, during that 24-hour period, we're going to try our first buy two, get one free sale on everything. So anything you buy, you'll get buy two, get one free, and you'll get the cheapest thing you buy free, right?
Does it matter what category you buy? Like if you buy an action figure, anything. A glass, and a comic?
Yes, you'll get whatever the cheapest item out of the three of those is for free. So we're going to kind of see how it goes, but it's kind of like...
Don't buy a soda.
Yeah, don't buy a soda.
Don't buy an omnibus, a statue, and a soda.
Yeah, if you're going to buy an omnibus, buy another omnibus and another omnibus, and you'll get one free. And, But yeah, it's a really, all my complaining aside, it's a really fun day. We've got bands coming in. We're doing all kinds of shit that day. It is our second biggest day of the year. It's ridiculous. And it's basically like a 24-hour party. And depending on what time you come in, I will be delirious from lack of sleep.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of bands, I just wanted to give a shout out to Q4.org, Q-U-E-4.org. They're an AM radio station in Chicago, and they invited us to come and play last night.
The U2 band?
No, actually Mysterio.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we showed up last night. I actually didn't know what it was, and I thought it might have been a podcast. I thought it might have been something we could plug later, but it was a live broadcast, and we did a half an hour. We played five songs in the studio, and then we just talked, and it was
that's awesome.
Really, really fun. And Mike, who hosts the show, was a great guy.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can do some stuff with them again in the future. But if you like listening to podcasts and you like streaming audio, they broadcast 24 hours a day.
That's awesome.
They're on AM here in Chicago, but if you go to Q4.org, you can listen to them right now no matter where you are. And we had a ball, and thanks to those guys. We'll come back and talk to you guys next week.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!